Welcome to Studio A at Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Kate Botello. Dr. Tim McAllister is a professor of saxophone at the University of Michigan and a renowned soloist, and he's also a 2018 Valade Teaching Fellow at Interlochen Arts Camp. He's here with Liz Ames. They've performed as a duo all over the world since 2012, and they have a debut album coming out in early 2019. Dr. Tim McAllister, Liz Ames, thank you so much for coming. Welcome to Studio A.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Tim, you have a long history here at Interlochen, and of course, working with young people. You made your solo debut when you were 16 years old with the Houston Civic Symphony.
That's correct.
That gives you a unique perspective when you're working with young people.
Absolutely. It in many ways frames the type of teaching that I do with young players, because in many ways I feel like hard work is always greater than talent, and I think it's important to recreate in many ways the experiences I had for them, to try to create a pathway for success that follows a similar blueprint that worked for me, frankly, that allowed me to have great experiences at 16, 17, 18 years old, all the way up to coming here to the Interlochen Arts Camp in 1990. Where I feel like I found myself. I found my musical soul, as many people would recount and say the same about this place. To be able to teach here and in many ways rekindle that experience within myself and then pass that on to them is one of the great joys of coming back here every summer.
Liz, is there anything in this saxophone repertoire or the way they approach their instrument that might affect the way you approach yours?
Definitely. Playing with saxophones has made me a better pianist, and it's because of the versatility of the instrument. The spectrum of colors, dynamic range, articulations, everything. And it's a part of my job as a collaborative pianist to be able to match what they're doing or to push myself to those limits that they are capable of. So can I get quieter than Tim McAllister? Can I get louder than Tim McAllister? It pushes me, and it's not just him. It's many saxophonists who I get to work with, who I have the privilege of working with. So the instrument has made me a better musician.
And this is a specific focus for you. You do work with saxophonists a lot.
I would say 90 to 95% of what I do is working with saxophones.
So. Oh, that is fascinating. Well, let's hear a little bit of how these two instruments sound together. We'll hear our first piece. What's the first piece for us, Tim?
It's a work by the composer, Andy Scott, who's based in the UK, based in Manchester, mainly in England. This is a piece entitled MHP, which is dedicated to two saxophonists, the person who commissioned the work named Michael Hall and the great jazz saxophonist who passed away in recent years, Michael Brecker. So throughout the piece, you'll hear some of these Michael Breckerisms where he would overblow harmonics and play in the altissimo register and just really the interesting harmonic language and rhythm throughout the piece. And this will be part of a CD that will be coming out within the year of all of the music of Andy Scott for saxophone and piano that we recorded in the UK this past March. And this will be one of the main tracks on the album.
Oh, I love that. What a high energy, great, just, I don't know, fun piece of music. That's really cool. So that was MHP by Andy Scott. And up next, we're going to hear Respectfully Yours from 2015, also by Andy Scott. Tim and Liz, you have an album coming out in early 2019, The Works of Andy Scott. Can we talk about a little bit what inspired the creation of this album? What led you to this composer?
Well, the saxophone community is quite small, even though there are many of us around the world and we interact with each other quite a bit. Andy Scott is a tremendous composer who is still a performing and active saxophonist. In the summer of 2016, we were together at a festival in Palmelo, Portugal, a large saxophone festival, and he asked me, frankly, just to record his music. He wanted me to be involved with his next CD project. So we started talking, and I mentioned that I wanted to involve my pianist, Liz Ames, and And then quickly he started to compile an anthology of the of his favorite works that he wished to be recorded, and he chose me as that person. So I was very honored, and we've maintained a great friendship over the years. Before that, even and Andy Scott is a founding member of a famous British saxophone quartet called the Apollo Saxophone Quartet. So this ties together his role as a performing musician and now quite an active composer.
Now, the next piece we're going to hear is, of course, an Andy Scott piece, and it's called Respectfully Yours. Tell us about what we're going to hear now.
Well, this piece originated actually as a work for euphonium and piano, and it was written in memory of the great composer Richard Rodney Bennett, who was a teacher and friend of Andy's, who became really one of his great composition inspirations. He then took that work and arranged it for various ensembles, but he created a version for the first time for the alto saxophone and piano and dedicated it to me for this recording. And it's a beautiful, lovely work, kind of jazz influenced. You hear the jazz harmonies throughout. Richard Rodney Bennett was, of course, a concert composer, but drew upon kind of jazz music and jazz language vocabulary quite a bit. So this piece is just kind of a beautiful ballad. Thank you.
Wonderful. You mentioned earlier when we were talking about the saxophone being a relatively new instrument. I know that many listeners, people might think, automatically associate the saxophone with jazz, but it wasn't really invented for jazz, was it?
Correct. Yeah. Well, it was invented to be the bridge for the woodwinds and the brass, an instrument that helped create this seam that sealed up the missing voice within the two choirs of a symphony orchestra. And Adolf Sax had this idea that all of his instruments, his revised bass clarinet, the sax horns, and these various instruments would all find their way into the modern symphony orchestra. But really the only instrument that endured beyond his revised bass clarinet was the saxophone. And then it found its way into the French infantry bands. He was able to get all of his instruments patented and a requirement to be included in the French infantry band. And that certainly kind of sealed its fate, so to speak, with the concert band. But its projection, the power of the instrument allowed it to be much more audible outdoors. The modern instrument is much louder than the original instrument. So the original saxophone had more of an English horn sound, something that was a little bit more covered and matched maybe more of a bassoon or English horn. And now the instrument has this capability of stretching the whole gambit of really soft classical playing all the way up to just really loud hard rock and roll, you know, kind of playing. The instrument has this massive scope of color that's possible with equipment variations and the way the instrument is constructed. So because of that, the early repertoire for the instrument, it had to be commissioned. Adolf Sax was this incredible mad genius. I mean, he built an instrument not simply to, in his mind, improved the symphony orchestra, but he really wanted to create an instrument that was accessible, and he wanted to make a buck, frankly. So he wanted an instrument that could be a little more accessible than a clarinet, a little less complicated than oboe, for instance, but something that merged those two worlds, almost a double reed with construction of an instrument with a single reed mouthpiece. So most of the early music was pieces that he asked to have written for him. These many forgotten French composers at the turn of the 20th century, but he really started to make some headway with major figures like Berlioz and Rossini even and Meyerbeer, and they all wrote very positively about the saxophone. The De Crook Sonata represents a piece that came along in this kind of post-impressionist world, but she, in many ways, was still writing firmly in that style, of more of an impressionist style, and the piece was written in 1943. It was actually written in dedication of the great French saxophonist Marcel Mule, but a piece was premiered by her husband, and she wrote over 40 works for the saxophone. And it's such a beautiful work and kind of a forgotten piece in our repertoire even, and we always look for great for chances to play this great piece. Thank you.
That is cool. It's so beautiful and then so stirring and just that is fantastic music. I've never heard it before. I can tell you a lot of folks listening have never heard it before, but I'm so happy that they've had this experience with the two of you coming in performing. Dr. Tim McAllister, professor of saxophone at the University of Michigan and a renowned soloist, of course, a 2018 Valade Teaching Fellow at Interlochen Arts Camp. He was joined here with Liz Ames performing in Studio A. Brock Mormon engineered this episode of Studio A. I'm Kate Botello. Production assistance came from Madeline Merwin. Thank you, Tim and Liz, for being here today.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.